If you have your Bibles, turn over to Dr. Luke's Gospel, chapter 2. I'm going to start in verse 1. If you missed last Sunday's evening service, you missed a blessing because the children did a kind of a skit that was concerning Luke chapter 2. And they did a great job, I thought. The title of the skit was something about they were arresting the shepherds for disorderly conduct. And I thought it was just a really cute little twist on it. So we ought to, you see those children that had a part in that, or the ladies and all those who helped them. It was really well worth the time coming last time. Luke chapter 2, it says that in those days went out a decree from Caesar Augusta that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone to his own city. And Joseph also went from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth unto Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem. Bethlehem means what? Does anybody know what Bethlehem means? House of bread, David's city. Because he was of the house and lineage of David. What does that mean? He was of the house and lineage of David. Yeah, yeah. He was royal blood. You said, I thought he was just a carpenter guy up there in Nazareth. Yeah, but he was still of the house of David. To be taxed was Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child, and she was too, actually. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished, that she should be delivered, and she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger? Wow. Who would have thought it, huh? Only God. Only God. No better. Have you ever thought about that? What would have been a better way? No better way. This is the best way. Because it touches everybody. Because there was no room for the inn, and there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And of course, our detractors would point out to us, aha. Well, then Christmas is not on December 25th because the shepherds would have been not out in the fields abiding their sheep at night at that particular time of year. It had been too cold. They would have had them in compounds and all that kind of stuff. All that is true except for one thing. Year round, 365 days a year, there were sheep kept for the temple every day in the fields. I have a feeling that maybe that was those sheep. And lo, the angel of the Lord came unto them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were so afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not. I suspect they were afraid. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. The Messiah is being born. And this shall be a sign unto you, you shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men. And it came to pass as the angel was gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Herb, Jim, let's go see what's going on there. They said, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see these things which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known to us. Everything God does, everything he does, always surprises us. Why should it not surprise us in this greatest gift that he should choose this most humblest way? And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in the manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning the child. They woke up all Bethlehem. That's why they got arrested. That's why they were on trial last week. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for who you are and what you're doing all the time. Father, we sometimes think that we have some sense of wisdom about us. But your wisdom always is greater and far better It always surprising. The impact and the point is always made clear if we're willing to hear and see. So, Father, we thank you for this time that you give to us to serve you. We thank you, Father, for this period of time, this season. The scripture, of course, Paul says we don't have to celebrate any kind of particular celebration, times and seasons and those kind of things. But, Lord, we thank you for the opportunity that we have to speak a word about Jesus during this time. Help us to do so. Lord, be with us now in this service. Lift our hearts to you that we might, Father, say it was good to be in your house today. For these things we ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen. I heard all kinds of things on the radio. I was just kind of going through the radio and I came on to 51.5, which is playing Christmas songs. And they're playing some of the old songs. They're playing, you know, like Gene Autry, you know, singing, you know, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. Burl Ives, you know, Holly Golly Christmas. What's that guy's name that, you know, talking about snow and those kind of things. And what's his name? Bing Crosby. Yeah, that guy. Yeah. All those. I even had Elvis Presley singing, he's a blue Christmas. You know, so they had all this stuff. And for some reason, I left it on there. I've had it on there all week long. I've been listening to it. You know why I left it on there and the reason why I've enjoyed it is because there's something uplifting, inspiring. It's clean. You don't have to worry about some nutwink like a school principal in some particular school that has outlawed all anything to do with Christmas. You know, she's truly offended by candy canes. The funny thing, when I heard that report, I thought, you know, she said candy canes, the shape is in a J for Jesus. And I thought, well, okay, that's all right. But I always learned it was a shepherd's hook or crook. So she inserted the Jesus thing. You know, she needs to be fired, don't you think? And of course the red was for, the blood of Christ, for his sacrifice on the cross, and the white was, something to do with the resurrection, and the peppermint was hyssop. She knew all that stuff. And she was sorely displeased. Of course, what took the cake for me this past week was there's some sort of psychiatrist someplace who wrote an article, and published in some medical journal, that Mary was raped by the Holy Spirit. And I thought to myself, you know, I pity the poor people that are his patients. If that's his attitude, minds and hearts, you know. Well, anyway, but I don't want to go there. We got all kinds of stuff like that all the time, don't we? It's good that we can have just a time of year when we can say Merry Christmas, we can smile at each other, say be of good cheer, hello, all that kind of thing. There's nothing wrong with that. You know, the Christmas tree is not a biblical thing. It's a German tradition. I'm German, you know, so here I am. There's my gift to you right there, Christmas tree. At least through me, in the sense of Germans, you know. Martin Luther, I think, was put lights on the candles on the tree, and of course, you know, he shouldn't have done that because that's too dangerous. You know, the fire department would be after him. Poinsettias, they're pretty, aren't they? And I think they're from South America or something like that. Some particular ambassador we had to Mexico or something like that liked that particular flower. He brought them back to the States and he began to grow them and he found a market for them at Christmas time. I thought, well, it fits right in with the rest of the guys, you know. And of course, colors, you know, red, green, and gold are Christmas colors. Of course, we give gifts. One of our young guys here this morning came in and he asked me, he says, are there any presents in those boxes? And I thought, well, no. I said, I think they're just decoration. They're just fake. All right. So, well, but you know, the wise men did come bringing gifts to Jesus, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Basically, traditionally, we're always told gold is associated with kings. Frankincense is some sort of perfume, that's used in worship. Myrrh is another perfume, but it has to do with and associated with, preparation of bodies for the grave. And then Christmas cards. You know, I thought about this. And, you know, just cancel this out immediately. You know, when I get done with it, rewind and go, whoop. Because, you know, we talked about Lonnie Moon Christmas cards in the box out there, and you could take your money that you would have spent on postage and give it to Lonnie Moon. I've got another idea. Let's do away with the cards and take the money you would have spent on cards and postage and put it in the box. Is it anybody's? Judy has got her cards ready 2 weeks before. I'll be lucky to get them on the day of Christmas. I don't look forward to doing all those cards. Do you? So let's replace them next year. We'll just have a big thing on the screens here that says "Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, Lonnie Moon, whatever, something like that." Well, whatever you want to do. And of course, you know, we were in Germany when I was a kid, and our landlord was a very nice guy, but he thought that my brother and I, who were not very big, my brother was littler than I was. Of course, he's always been littler than me, 6'5". But he's always been smaller than me in the sense of age, and we were asleep. And all of a sudden, something broke into our room. And he was Santa Claus. He looked like a bum. He didn't have any red on or a little jolly hat or anything like that. He was dressed in very drab colors. He had a big bundle of switches sticking out of his back there. And he was just talking in German to us. I was piled up in the corner. My brother was piled up on me. And we were saying, "Get this guy out of our room." You know, so I'm glad that Clement Moore came up with the night before Christmas and changed that whole thing until we have a little bit jollier kind of guy that's running around doing all these kind of things. Well, none of that, most of that has nothing to do with Christmas other than it can be a useful tool. You know, almost anything, if we put our hearts and minds to it, we can begin there and go to Jesus. I used to go visiting with one of our guys in our church, I always was amazed. His name was George. I always was amazed at George. We'd go visit somebody. We're standing on the porch or something like that, talking to somebody, you know, trying to encourage them to come to church, or maybe they'd visit the church or whatever it might be. And George would be talking to them. And, Charlotte is an IU dyed-in-the-wool basketball fan. Did you know that Charlotte is? She loves that IU basketball stuff. Well, in Kentucky, they're not exactly fond of IU. They're more in line with the Kentucky Wildcat type of people. And so I remember this one particular instance. We were visiting this guy, and TV was on, and there was basketball playing. And of course, he was like Charlotte. He was trying to talk to us, but watch that game, boy, you know. But somehow or another, and I don't remember how he did it, we were talking about that basketball game, and the first thing I know, we were on our knees at that guy's living room table, and he was accepting Christ. George had led him from the basketball game, got his attention somehow or another, and the Holy Spirit did his work, and great things happened. So I think God can use just about anything if we dedicate it unto Him. Over in 2 Peter, Peter reminds us, "We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well, that you take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place." Peter's encouraging us, listen, you've got a sure word, a more sure word of prophecy. It would do well for you to heed it, to pay attention to it. It's like a light shining in the darkness until the day star, the day star arises in your heart. So we're supposed to keep this word in our heart. We're supposed to use it. We're supposed to be attracted to it. We're supposed to learn as best we possibly can. Put it to memories. And good, those Bible driller kids are putting that stuff to memories. Marvelous. That we might know the Lord. Indeed, if we will, we can rediscover the real meaning of Christ's birth every day if we wanted to. We can come to sacred ground. find a place of comfort, a haven of rest in a tumultuous world that's far greater than any trees or lights or any of that kind of stuff. In Jesus, anytime, any place, it can't be stopped. Oh, this reminds me. I should have said this a while ago, but you know, red, green, and gold are the Christmas colors, kind of thing. I noticed not too far from our house, we went around the house, somebody has a bunch of purple lights up. What does that mean? Does it mean anything at all? Maybe just likes purple. I don't know. But I thought, what's purple mean? Does it mean you're, you know, protesting Christmas or something? I don't know what it means. Never mind. Paul strongly exhorts us over 1 Corinthians. He says, rejoice not in iniquity, but rejoice in truth. So set your heart on truth. Rejoice in the things of God. Rejoice in truth, not iniquity. He says, when I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood like a child. I thought as a child. But now, when I become a man, when I'm fully grown, I put away childish things. I think that would be a good exhortation for us, don't you think? There's a progress of growth in our lives. There should be. We're babes in Christ. We should be young men. We should be mature in Christ. And we should be rejoicing. And there should be a different place that we're standing spiritually, the day we accepted Christ onto the day. It may not be a straight line progress, but there ought to be some changes that God has allowed to come into your life that we can be thankful for each and every day. Well, as I noted last week, God is not hiding himself. God is revealing himself. And he's progressively revealing his wonderful plan of redemption. Plan of redemption for sinful, rebellious man. Peter says, for as much as you know that we were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. You know, Zephaniah has an interesting little word on that. Chapter 1, verse 18. Zephaniah says, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, he says, neither their silver nor their gold shall be able to deliver them in the day of the Lord's wrath. You know, I don't know. It seems like we falsely labor under that assumption all the time. I remember when Frank Sinatra died or something like that, and I enjoyed his singing. He gave $1 million to the Catholic Church or something like that. I thought, well, that's nice. They really need it, I'm sure. I'm being facetious. That's nice. I should zip that off, cut that off, delete that. That's nice. But why did you give it? I hope he gave it in a sense of charity and out of love for Christ and those kind of things. I have no idea what his heart is at. But I have a strong feeling that he probably was giving it like a lot of people think. I'm getting ready to die. I've got a 1,800 billion, jillion, million dollars here. Let's give the Lord a mill and see what he says about getting into heaven thing. I don't know that that's true. But I think there's a lot of people that labor under that assumption. Men still labor under that falsehood that somehow or another they can either do good works, buy their way, all kinds of things. Somehow or another, by God's favor, and it will be graciousness to them because of whatever their deeds are. This, the opposite, is what Jesus did that gives us God's, the Father's favor. You know, Pope Benedict had something he was calling selling indulgences. He was trying to build St. Peter's Cathedral, which is a beautiful place in Rome. But he allowed the people in that day to buy these indulgences so that their family, their loved ones, could be released from purgatory. You say, you know, I'm fairly familiar with the Bible. I've never found the purgatory at all. Well, you don't have you got to have some more books there. But nevertheless, there was a guy in Germany, his name was Martin Luther, and there was a guy that was coming around, he was a good salesman. Every time he had a little jingle. Every time a coin in the coffer springs, a soul from purgatory springs. Wow, okay. Well, Martin Luther was thinking, whoa, 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 whoa. You can't buy God's favor. I don't care what you're doing. Whether you're building a beautiful cathedral in Rome or not, you can't do that. And of course, that started a little thing called the Protestant Reformation, which you're a part of. Over in Acts chapter 8, verse 20, Peter rebuked Simon the sorcerer for trying to buy the gift of the Holy Spirit, didn't he? He said, thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God might be purchased. My friends, you're not going to buy God's favor. It's just the opposite. God loves you. God loves you with an everlasting love. God is not fickle. He's not one day he likes you, the next day he doesn't. He constantly loves you. He had a plan from the very beginning, as we saw last week in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, that first promise of that redemption. And he's been working it out. He's been unfolding this plan of salvation. It's grace to you, not worthiness to me. The grace of God. Merciful, patient, slow to anger, quick to forgive. Paul says, but when the fullness of time had come, Galatians chapter 4, God sent forth his son to be born of a woman. And like I said, we saw in Genesis chapter 3, 15, that enmity between the seed of the woman and the serpent, and that war that has broken out. And in Genesis chapter 12, it says, and the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and I will make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing, and I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curse thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. In another place, of course, God promises Abraham, your descendants are going to be like the sands of the sea and the stars of the heavens. I'm going to make you a great nation, and I'm going to have nations come out of you. The light to the Gentiles and to his people Israel. Luke chapter 2 tells us that there was this guy, Simeon. He was just and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel. And when Jesus was born in Bethlehem, on the eighth day, was Jesus in Bethlehem? Where was he at? He was in Jerusalem in the temple. Joseph and Mary were pious, observant Jews. They were doing what they were supposed to be doing, dedicating their firstborn son in the temple. And this guy comes and he starts saying all these things. And he says, for my eyes have seen the salvation of the Lord, the light of light to the Gentile and the glory of God to his people. Isn't that amazing? I think to myself, I wonder if some of our mothers would have allowed him to do that. I'm not sure if I would have. You know, I come in with my baby and I'm here to dedicate this child unto the Lord. And here comes this old man. Can I see the baby? Takes the baby and brings the baby up over his head and says all that kind of stuff. I'd have been scared to death, wouldn't you? Are you through? Can I have the baby back, please? You know. And that's not enough. There's another lady there, Anna. She's also giving thanks, and she's also reinforcing the angel's message to Mary and Joseph. The angel, the shepherds, all that is reinforcement that God has done this great thing for you. And he's done it through time and in history. A decree went out from Caesar Augustus. He was a real guy. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor. He's a real guy. Joseph and Mary lived in Nazareth in Galilee, a real place still today. There's a Volvo car place there. I was when we were in on the Holy Land trip and those kind of things. It's always cool to see this the things that you see that have to do with something biblical or have something to do with the first century. But you walk out of this particular Mary's well there in Bethlehem. You know, I told you about that. There was a little lady there who was selling this little water in a bottle, and my wife went over and took her little film canister and took the film out. Went over and went like that and put the water in. You know, the lady was going, you know. But you walk out of that place and here's a Volvo, you know, making these Swedish cars in Israel right there across the street. That's the way it always is. There's always the holy mixed with the profane. There's always the things of God mixed with a chaotic fallen world. But God is still in charge and God is still reigning and giving his mercy and his grace to you each and every day. And you ought to be thankful for that. No matter how some kind of psychologist, I think he was in Texas or something, writes a paper. It doesn't matter. It doesn't make any difference whether some goofy little woman I think in Nebraska or something like that, trying to, you know, take candy canes out of school, and they're not going to, it's going to amount to nothing. Because they're not going to stop the Holy Spirit of God from convicting people, drawing people, and changing lives. They think they can, and they're, you know, that's one good thing, I guess in a negative way. These people who are sold out to the devil, they're zealous. Oh, that the people that we, the people of God, might be zealous for the things of God as these folks are zealous for the things of the devil. God is in charge. It's a great thing. Paul says, but unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. He led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. Jesus came to liberate the captives. He came to set us free. Jesus said that, didn't he? He said, I've come to give my life a ransom for many. We need to recapture that. Oh, yeah. We live with all kinds of nutty things going on all around us. Sometimes terrible things. House burns down. Two adults, four children killed. That's a terrible thing. Hurricanes, floods, you name it, all those things. You had a house, but now you don't have a house. A fire in California or something like that. But God is still in charge and he can still bless. Jesus came to set us free. Spirit said he gave us the gifts. And of course the gifts that Paul is talking about there happen to be apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Gifts to men. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth unto Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David. God's hand at work. The stitching is so fine that our finite I sometimes miss the importance of those small little tiny things. Because you see, David had been promised, King David had been promised, the scepter would not depart from his house. And God said, I'm going to make a root out of the stump of David to rise up, and it'll be a blessing to all nations. Joseph's in that holy line of what God is doing. To be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. So I'm sure, don't you think, that Joseph and Mary were sitting around the house and they were saying, you know, somebody came by and said, you know, Joseph, Mary, Joseph, I think you've got to, you know, Caesar Augusta has made a decree. We need to know how many people are where. Aren't you from Bethlehem? You need to go to Bethlehem because they're going to take a count and we're going to raise your taxes next year. Well, all that's always happening. But behind that and underneath that, there is this wonder which we can have. This wonder that we should have. in what God has done for us in Christ. If we worry about, and isn't it something that happens all the time? We think, well, we need to. I like that one commercial on television where the guy walks out of the house and he's something to his wife and he says, da-da! You know, here's a brand new GMC pickup or something, a brand new SUV over here, and the girl runs over to the pickup and he said, no. You know, well, don't do it. How many times have you ever known anybody who did that? Yeah, they just go ahead and buy two cars at once, you know, give one to their wife and they keep the other. Or vice versa, doesn't make a difference. How many times does that happen? That's unrealistic. What's better is the smile and the joy that you'll get from these children when you're enforcing to them and reinforcing the real message of the birth of Christ, God's salvation. My eyes have seen the salvation of God. What a blessing. There should be some joy in our lives. Merry Christmas, you know, yeah, Happy New Year or something like that, all this kind of stuff. People say, That should not be just a few weeks a year. That joy we should have all year long. And if we have that joy all year long, I wonder what the world would say about us. They probably think we're crazy, but that's okay. There should be in us hope, inspiration, joy, peace, and most of all, a calmness of who we are in Jesus, who was born in Bethlehem so many years ago in odd, strange circumstances in a manger with shepherds coming. You know, the play had them being arrested for disturbing the peace. They could have just been as well arrested for being stinky shepherds. Why did you guys come to town? Don't you people ever take a bath? You know. But isn't it wonderful that God loves even shepherds? God is not so high and so mighty as a manger cannot be a place of glory if we'll see it. Father, help us to have an open mind to what you're doing all around us. And yes, Lord, there's all kinds of things that have very little to do with the birth of Christ. But some of these things can bring a smile to our faces, and we need to have a smile on our face. We shouldn't be running around like we've just been sucking on a lemon all day long. Jesus is coming. He's coming soon. And what a blessing that is going to be to those who know him. Be with us this morning, Lord, as we come to this place, invitation. If there's that one here today that needs to make some kind of decision openly in public, I pray that it'll be done so to honor Jesus, for it's in his precious name I pray. Amen.